I'm Brittany Ross, and I play the fiddle.
I'm Catherine Blinchem, and I play the pipe.
And together, we are Fiddle and Pipe.
Two classical musicians who are reading and discussing topics beyond the staff.
So grab a book, take a seat, and tune in.
Taste the goodness of the biscuit.
Taste the dota. Record on computer.
Thanks, Siri. Recording in progress.
That's going to be stuck in
my head.
You're going
to see me in.
You look so cozy, Brittany.
You do look cozy.
David bought this for me like 2 or 3. It's like 12 feels like, actually, wait. How old is it?
12 feels like 4 or something.
Oh, it's 20.
What?
20 feels like 19. Oh, maybe I think the wind chill is supposed to stop today. So that'll be nice. It's going to get warmer this week, and then it's going to get colder again next week, but not as cold.
We were basically stuck in the teens and negatives for a while earlier this week. I feel like this weekend was like the warmest it's been, and it's like 33.
We weren't in the negatives, but we were really close with wind chill.
Digits,
oh yeah, like negative. There were moments where I would like look at my weather app and be like, it feels like negative 12. And I'm like, oh, I believe it.
When I woke up yesterday morning, I think that it was like 12 feels like 0. And I was like, what?
Do you guys hear my cat crying?
I can't.
Okay.
No.
I can hear her cry. Sorry. She's...
Go comfort her.
No.
Monster.
She's fine.
What a monster.
Why am I think I'm peeking. What's going on with my... Peeking! Am I peeking? Feel like that peek.
It sounds crispy.
Yeah, I don't know how to change it. And at this point in time, I don't want to dick around with it. So I'm just going to, I'll talk in a softer voice.
I think you sound fine.
Okay, cool.
I also think you sound fine.
We'll just fix it in post, right? That's what they all say?
Yes, that's future
That's
us
future
problem.
Us problem. Well, not even future me problem, because oh, you're...
No, that's above or below your pay grade, depending on how
yeah,
you look
one
at
or the
it.
Other.
All right, speaking of pay grades, welcome to your favorite free radio show. My name is Brittany Ross. I woke up like an hour ago. I am so fucking warm. You know, I really have to because it's so unbelievably cold here. And I normally don't like complaining about the weather, but I am almost middle-aged and I am a white woman. Therefore, I talk about the weather. It's one of my hobbies. That's what I do. But... It's colder where you are. That's Catherine. She's in Denver, and that's, like, generally a colder area, usually.
Generally, I think.
Mean, depends on the time. I think it's a little bit warmer here than it is where y'all are.
Right now, so. But we're getting...
It's not really.
We're getting,
30 degrees.
Yeah, we're getting an anomalous cold spike.
Did you guys get any snow?
No.
Or none?
No. No snow.
Oh, that's so sad. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I like living in Denver. Like, I know that a lot of people complain about snow, but for me personally, like, I love it. I don't care that I have to drive in it because I drive carefully as best as I can. And I just like the snow. I like sitting on my couch. I like looking out and being like, I feel like I'm in Narnia. I don't care that it's negative 12 degrees.
It would be nice.
That sounds horrible, though.
Snow occasionally. We just rarely
it
do.
Sounds horrible if I'm outside.
And with us today, struggling in whatever, I think this is like Winter Storm Heather, is Rainer Slay.
I guess.
Literally diagonally across the street from me in Georgia.
You guys can see each other from each other's walls.
We were up partying late last night, me and Brittany and some other friends. So, yeah, we're all on the struggle bus right now.
We're old. I can't believe you said that Lauren like just woke up. That wakes me out. Because she's normally just an early riser. Well, today we are talking about books, so like let's get our thinking caps on, kids. Today we are talking about The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by V.E. Schwab.
Yes.
Schwab? Can't do names. Names are hard.
I keep thinking The Secret Life of Addie LaRue because of that stupid show, Secret Life of the American Teenager on ABC Family, and I blame that show.
It's kind of interesting that we're doing this book because this is not like one of our hashtag planned books. I read this book maybe 2 or 3 months ago because Rainer bought it for me for like Christmas or birthday or something. Gross. And I was like, I should finally get around to reading this. So like I read it and then I saw on Goodreads that Catherine, you were reading it. So I was like, we should actually talk about this book.
Yeah, it was like on my list of like on my TBR list, and I think it's because I found it when we read the Midnight Library, and I was trying to think of books to like recommend that sounded interesting and kind of similar to what Midnight Library was. I also think Laurel, who was on one of our episodes, even recommended that book too.
Yeah, I read this book probably, I don't know, it's been more than a year ago. I think it might have been 2022. I read it and liked it. I think I gave it like 4 out of 5 on Goodreads. On this second read, the reread, I liked it a lot more. I think I gave it 5 out of 5. Now it was like, I don't know, it hit different for whatever reason.
Really?
Yeah. I bought it when I originally read it. I checked it out at the library, but like for this, I tried to see if I could do it again. I would have to wait like after 40 people, so I was like, never mind, I'm just gonna buy the book because I really liked it. I thought it was really good, and I know that I'm definitely going to read this book again. When I was actually skimming through just to like get some notes, I was like, you know what? I want to read this book again.
I definitely liked it better on the reread.
I would like to audiobook it. I don't know if I'd want to sit and actually reread it again because I really liked it, but I'll talk about this more when we do like our rating and review stuff. But I thought it was just some parts of it, I feel like were long just for like kind of the sake of being long. Yeah, so that's like my 2 cents on that, I guess.
I did do the audiobook version, so maybe that played into it.
I don't know how y'all do audiobooks, because I will never. There's times where I listen to podcasts, like if I'm doing work, and I like zone out and I'm focused on whatever I'm doing, and then I have to go back and like re-listen and be like, what happened here?
That's how I know I'm into the audiobook, is when I'm like actively listening to it as I'm doing other things. If I'm just like zoning out and tuning back in, that's a really good sign that I'm not that into it. That's how it was when I was reading that last Outlander book that we talked about in our last episode. Yeah, the herbs. It's just the herbs and like, oh, if I was in, you know, my normal time, we would do this because we had hospitals, but now we can't. So now I have to explain to these people like how to reset a bone. And I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like I'm reading the Warrior Cats books.
I'm familiar with them, but I have not read them.
So they're this cute middle grade series where basically you have, they're cats that live in the woods and they're feral, I guess, for lack of a better word. And they live in these clans, and these clans have like hierarchical. Yes. Oh, you have like a leader, a deputy, you have a medicine cat who's like your healer, you have your warriors who are like your fighters, and you have your moms and the babies. And they really get into herbs in that book series too, because like the medicine cats, or it's just like, I gathered cobwebs to like dress wounds, and chewing this root helps, or like having, I don't know what's another one that they use, it's like poppy seeds, like if you use poppy seeds, it helps with pain. So, but they like get really into gathering stuff in the woods and using it for medicine, and it just kind of reminds me, that's a weird parallel, but that's just what it reminds me of. It's a cute series. I read it when I was a kid and I loved it, and that might explain a lot about me, but
mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't think I've ever come across it. I went to the library a lot as a child.
We try to, so Dave and I read books together, and like we read books to each other, and it's like a series that I grew up with, so I loved it. So I definitely have a lot of nostalgia, but reading it out loud is hard because they all have kind of similar names. Like the last part of their name corresponds with their status in the clan. So like if it's like Gray Paw, they're an apprentice. If it's like Gray Stripe or like any other variation of after the first part of the name, they're like not an apprentice. And then like if Star is the last part of their name, then they're like the leader. So it's kind of exhausting to be like Fire Paw went up to Gray Paw and Raven Paw. And I'm just like, I don't know. It wasn't a good reading out loud book. A lot of pause.
Pause.
Yeah, you but pause. You know what doesn't have pause? This book. The book that we should be focusing on.
Yeah, there are no cats in this book.
Which is really unfortunate.
Wait, there was a cat. It was a cat in the library, right?
Oh, yeah. There was a book cat.
Yeah.
I think it was books, right?
It's something like that, yeah. It's like, yeah, it's like book. There's a cat.
You're right. There was a cat.
Okay. I stand corrected. All right. Well, Catherine, do you want to like read most of the synopsis like you wrote?
I have to correct myself because I just realized it's not a library, it's a bookstore, but he always tells the one girl, this is not a library. Sorry, that was going to bug me if I didn't correct this. You have to think I was like an idiot or something.
I think our two listeners would have really had a problem with you, Rainer.
I mean, I don't know about y'all. I've seen people like go to like Barnes and Noble and just sit there and read. And I'm like, I can't do that at Barnes and Noble. I feel like I have to be there.
Me.
To,
like, I was
that
like,
was me in high school. Him
and then buy and then go somewhere and read. I don't feel like, I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
That was me in middle school when my parents would take for freaking ever. So I would just sit in the comics section and read comics.
Me too. That was me in high school. I would just go to their comics section and like just pull out a graphic novel or a like a trade volume and just like and read it. Because
your parents would take you to Barnes and Noble?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
My parents never did.
My parents loved the fact that I was a big bookworm. Wait, well, your parents don't support you reading?
Well, no, I would go to the library. But like, I mean, every Sunday I would go to the library, but yeah, like I feel like growing up I would go there maybe to like I'd be there with my mom and we would maybe like buy a book, but like we wouldn't do it as frequently as like going to the library. I feel like if I ever went to Barnes and Noble as a kid, I probably went like once a year.
My sessions were mostly like window shopping. Like I just liked walking through the aisles and just looking at the books and smelling them, and then I'd pick out a few that I like really wanted to read, and then go to the library and try to find those books to check out, because we obviously were gonna just buy all the books that I wanted.
The Barnes and Noble book smell is a smell that like only people can understand if they've been to one.
I feel like I went to the library a lot when I was probably in elementary school, but I stopped going when I was in middle and high school. I definitely didn't utilize it as much as I should have.
I'm trying to utilize it now because I live so close to one.
I was big at the library. I would, if you kids listening out there can even imagine this, I used to go to the library and check out these plastic binders filled with cassette tapes, and that's how the audiobooks came. So you'd have like 25 cassette tapes. And so you'd take the cassette tape number one, you put it in, you listen to side one, flip it to side two, and then you have to take it out, cassette tape number two, side one, and that's how you would listen to audiobook. When they would give you the binder of cassette tapes, you could actually also rent a tiny, like, portable cassette tape player with a little speaker on it. They would come bundled together so you could listen at your house if you didn't have a cassette player to play the audiobooks on.
That is so neat. Like, especially
kids
like
these
then,
days don't realize how good they have it.
Yeah, they have it too good with their iPhones and TikTok.
Streaming services.
The whole world's literally at their fingertips. Wow.
Anyway, Addie LaRue. I think we'll get to it eventually.
You know who didn't have streaming services for a very long time was Addie.
Addie LaRue.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, so a general synopsis of the invisible life of Addie LaRue. And I'm just going to be really honest, you guys. If I botch anything in French, I'm sorry. I am sorry to anybody that respects the French language. I am not that great at this language. So if I butcher anything, any names, I apologize. Adeline LaRue is a small town girl who dreams of living in a big world. And she literally lives in the 1600s. So she is a very small town girl. Mm-hmm. Only villages exist. And she doesn't want to be owned by anyone. Through the influence of her witchy old lady friend named Estelle, and not wanting to marry...
Which is such a witchy name.
Estelle?
Sorry, I said it's such a witchy name. Yeah.
I don't know, like...
Do you not think so? I thought it was super witchy.
I mean, maybe for, like, 1600 France. What makes Estelle. It a witchy name? I don't know.
Estelle.
I think it's just context, because she is a witch. Or she's witchy. I don't know. Is she a witch? She's just witchy. I don't know if it's Estelle. So
she's just witchy.
Connotation.
She's just an old lady.
She's like your strange next door neighbor.
She lives in the woods.
I have a couple strange next door neighbors. Or across the street neighbors.
Mm-hmm. She drinks a lot of wine and gets drunk in the woods all the time.
I think the big thing is like she doesn't celebrate, or like she's not the same religion, the same main religion that everyone else is.
Yeah, so it makes her weird. In that right. day and time.
It makes her weird. She's like pagan, basically. Yeah, and she's just like this weird pagan next door neighbor. And everyone's just like, ooh, spooky dookie.
And Addie likes it. Yeah.
She's
like, I'll hang out with you. So she like, you know, learns about like the gods that Estelle is like, you know, like worships.
Nature gods.
The nature gods, yeah. And she doesn't want to marry. She doesn't want to have kids like her childhood friend, Isabel. So on her wedding day, this is like years and years and years later when she's like 23 and apparently she's an old lady by now. According to 1600s France.
Because she's been trying her whole life to not get married, and eventually her parents are just like, you know what you need to do? Settle down, get married. So they basically arrange this wedding for her, and she's not about it.
It's like an old man, right? It's like an old man whose wife died, and he's like 50-something, and she's like, dude, this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. I understand if she's not into him. But yeah, she's just like, I'm going to leave, and she escapes, and she just runs into the woods, like into the darkness of the woods, and she's like praying to the nature gods, please help me, please let me escape, blah 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 blah. And appears Luke,
if you want to do it in the French accent. Luke. She makes a mistake because Estelle specifically told her, do not pray to the gods after dark, because the gods that are around when night falls are like bad news. And see, I guess when Addie was running away from her wedding, she didn't realize what time it was. So when she prayed, it was already after dark, and
it was like sunset. Yeah. I think
it was like right on the cusp.
She's just like, it's still daytime. Yeah, and she
prayed, and one of the Luke shows up, who's maybe not the best guy thing, God, really. Whatever he is.
Thank. Yeah, that's what I was like trying to think of, like
spirit.
Call him like thing, spirit.
I thought he was more like a spirit. I didn't really think he was like God necessarily.
Well, I think he is God with a small G, not God with a big G. God with a small G. I think he is like the entity that would eventually be, when people start coming up with things like Satan or Pan or Beelzebub or any of these like bad gods that make deals with people and screw them over. That's who they're thinking
That's
of.
That's true.
Yeah, small god with a G shows up like in a human form, like whenever Addie, like I guess, is around them. Like that's what.
Whenever
I was, like,
he's
imagine.
Trying to appear to
he
her.
He basically takes the form that she, I guess, wants to see, because she was like an artist, and she would always draw this like one guy who had like dark hair and smoldering eyes or whatever. So he appears as that, so that she, I guess, would be more amenable to interacting with him.
Enticing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's basically Luke. Mm-hmm. Basically grants her, like, freedom, I want to say, but at a cost where she's, when she's done with her life, he can, or, like, her soul, he can have.
He has her immortal soul.
He makes
soul,
a deal with the devil,
and life, and basically, to whatever extent that she wants. So, devil went down to Georgia.
Oh, God.
Devil went down
to
small town France.
Intrusive thoughts.
Small town France. So she returns home, back to her parents' house, like nothing happened. And she's like, I'm not going to marry this man. I'm free. And her parents are freaked out that this random woman is in their house because they don't remember Addie at all. Like, she never existed. And Addie is very confused. Mm-hmm. And she basically runs away from home, that way like her dad doesn't shoot her or anything like that. So,
well, they also think she's quote-unquote crazy because she's claiming that she's their daughter, because she is, but they don't know her, so they're just like, you need to get out of our house, like, who are you, like, random homeless woman,
bye lady. And
which would
and
be
all her, like, her friends don't
so
remember
bad.
Her nobody does.
Yeah, and the thing about her not being remembered is really interesting. Or it is really interesting that whenever people interact with her, it's like they're meeting her the first time, regardless of how many times they've met her. So, like, they only, quote-unquote, know her for the time that they can physically see her. She's forgotten completely the second that either she leaves or they leave.
Yeah. So, and not only really that, but she can't, like, write her name. She can't say her name when she speaks to them. She can't, like, if she knocks over, like, I think at one point she knocks over a wine glass. Or no, she knocks over her father's, like, paint or stain or something in his woodshed.
Wood stain.
Yeah, and it falls to the ground, but then immediately, like, just disappears because she can't affect anything or do anything that would make her, I guess, person or any memory of her last. It's kind of brutal.
Right. Kind of sad.
Yeah.
I would be crying if, like, my family forgot me, my friends, like, I'd be so sad. I would just be like, I'm done. I don't want to do this.
Yeah, I'm sure she was kicking herself. She's like, wait, marrying that old guy might have not been that bad.
I mean, I would still have run away. So basically, this whole book is a back and forth between the present, which is 2014. That was 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Don't they do 2013 and 2014, I think? It's like over the span of like a year, I think.
Yeah, there's several timelines. The yeah, the quote-unquote present is like in the
time frame. Yeah, well, I was just trying to imagine, like, what was 2014 like?
We were in college.
I just graduated.
Well, we weren't in college. Y'all were in college.
Rainer, I'm trying not to dox you. I thought it was really interesting because the story was like a back and forth between like her present, which is like a year span, and then basically the late 1600s onwards, but it was like moving forward in different rates and at like different stages.
And they were always on July 29th, like when you would go back into the past, or at least most of them were because that was...
It was like their her anniversary with Luke. Yeah.
Yeah.
When he would show up and be like, all right, are you ready to give up and give me your soul now?
Yes. So yeah, he would come in, ask her, and she would always be like, no, I'm good. Okay.
No, not at first. At first, she was pretty close to giving in to him a few times. But I think as she went on, she built up her resiliency, question mark, for lack of a better word. She was just kind of like, actually, I'm going to enjoy this life. So
she made the best out of it.
She just got more confident. But definitely at first, she was really sad and devastated and lonely.
Yes. So. Yes. she becomes a muse over the years. For many, many artists.
Yeah.
And like when we were talking about how she can't really like leave
leave a mark on the world or anyway.
Yeah. Many artists would just draw her in these different forms. And you can always tell that it was Addie because she has these seven freckles on her face, which is like pretty distinct.
And it's on the cover of the book.
It's in the cover of the book, but also throughout like each part of the book, you get like a work of art with a description about it. And all the descriptions say like it's a woman with like these seven freckles.
A mysterious woman, yeah.
I thought this part of the story was really cool because she was able to like find a loophole around these limitations that Luke set and influence people indirectly. Basically, a lot of people knew who she was without actually knowing who she was because she influenced this art. And then, of course, what happens at the end of the book, which we'll get to, was kind of I thought it was a fitting ending. I liked it a lot.
Isn't that how some people recognized her? Because there was someone in the book who was like an art critic.
Yeah, so why can't I think of her name? But the girl who was
Friend of Henry.
That would always go to the bookstore and treat it like a library. What's her name? B?
She's like an art student.
B? Bay?
Beatrice?
It's no. B-E-A.
Bea? Bea? I can't remember how it's... I listened to the audiobook and now I can't remember how it said. Anyway, yeah, she does like art history and stuff, and one of her like esoteric theses when she's trying to get her whatever was about Addie, and she didn't even realize it. Or maybe that's what she ended up doing. I don't remember. Anyway, yeah, that is in there.
And she just kept saying, you look really familiar, and it was because she was
timeless face.
Really studying all these works that had her in it.
It's like, I look familiar because it's literally me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She also influenced musicians later on too, so she also achieved immortality through music.
Maybe.
We can discuss this later or we can discuss it now, but it was interesting how they used art as a way for her to be immortal and remembered.
Oh yeah, draw me like one of your French girls, because literally she's French. Anyway, that's what I was like thinking.
While you were reading.
Well, like, I mean, they're all drawing her and she's a French girl, so.
It's true. That's true.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's just me. Oh, well, we also find out that Luke and Addie like get closer over the next 300 plus years and become romantically involved.
For a while.
Is it romantic? I don't know. They definitely become like sexually involved. And there does seem to be kind of like her giving in to him. And he at least seems to be giving in to her. But is he really? Or is it just like a game he's playing with her mind to try to get her to like, okay, give in and come be with me so I win kind of thing?
Like, he's an immortal god. He probably has done this before with somebody. We don't know.
It seems like they both like crave intimacy, but they don't really know how to be intimate because like she is always questioning him, like, does he have ulterior motives? And
he's the only person in her life who knows her, who can remember her, who has known her from beginning to end,
for 300 years.
That's probably like the only person, quote unquote, that she can connect to too, because literally everybody in her life in the beginning, they die like fairly early in the story. And I don't know, like, that's why it was just really sad, because like there was one July 29th, I think, where he didn't show up at all and she was like expecting him. I think she was all like, she made a dinner.
Yeah, dressed up and everything. Show up.
Yeah, and was ready for him to show up. And when he didn't, and she felt like the sadness, I just kind of like thought to myself, like, what if I were in that situation? I mean, I would really hate it. I would be so sad. I don't know. It's a very isolating and lonely feeling. I felt like Luke was garbage because he's taking advantage of her.
It's like, are you lovers because you're actually into him, or are you lovers by...
Because he's like, the situation? Only option.
Exactly.
Basically.
By convenience. Yeah.
Later when they are together, it seems like he can control people to where, you know, she can sit at a restaurant and people won't forget that she's there. And she can actually eat full meal and not have to like steal it. Or he bought her a house and she didn't have to worry about bouncing from abandoned place to stay the night. Like, she had a place to stay, which was nice. But then he burned it down to the ground. So like...
Yeah.
Literally and metaphorically, burn their relationship to the ground. Because after all this time, I mean, how long were they romantically together? Like 50 years?
Yeah,
it seems like most dozens of years. Century.
Dozens of years, yeah.
Yeah, so basically, I think they were having some kind of like pillow talk moment, and she was just like, oh, I'm so happy I'm with you. Like, we're together forever. And he's like, yeah, and then I'm still getting your soul at the end. And she's like, excuse me?
He's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then at one point, I'm actually exactly sure where it fits in there, but at one point she says something to him like, you know, I know you, I know what you're about, I understand you. And he's like, oh, really? Let me show you this. And he whisks her away and lets her watch him basically take someone's soul. And she's like, holy.
That was Beethoven's death.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that for a second? That was really harsh. So, yeah, they're at Beethoven's house, and, like, he literally stabs Beethoven, or, like, punches Beethoven through the chest, and Beethoven, like, is like, please, not now, like, not yet.
Rips his soul out, yeah.
Rips his heart out, yeah.
Yeah, and I was just like...
It's brutal. It's brutal.
Well, he has this whole thing where they, throughout the time that they are together, he's always showing her... artists that have also made deals with him. Like, they go to this opera and he's like, yeah, most of the people there have made deals with me. Beethoven made a deal with him. So it's just like, you don't get to like this level of good in the arts without making some kind of deal with the devil. I guess like what Rainer was saying earlier.
Yeah. When he shows his true form and is like this black void monster of infinite horribleness, and she's like, oh, okay, you're not. It sticks with her. Mm-hmm. You blame her. That sounds pretty terrifying.
She's like, oh, so we're not boning anymore. Got it.
So you're not actually like a hot guy. You're like a force of nature.
You're like a monster.
So yeah, now we're in 2014. She's basically still, like, she's bouncing from place to place in New York City, and she comes across a bookstore that she's never seen before. So she goes in, does her usual thing, sees the cat. I think the cat's name was Book.
Something like that. It's like...
It was cute.
Yeah, it was like... It was a book-related word. It might have actually been Book. You're right. I don't remember.
I know his name wasn't like Book Paw or something, so...
So he was not... He was not a warrior. He was not a warrior.
I would have been like, wait, this is the warrior's cat. This is the crossover that we all wanted.
She tries to steal, like, a Greek version of the Odyssey, which...
Well, because wasn't her whole thing, like, she learns all these languages, and she's like, I haven't, you know, done anything with Greek in a while, so I'm gonna brush up on my Greek and read the Odyssey. It's like, okay, weird flex.
She's used to being able to just, like, swipe stuff, and the second she walks out the door and no one sees her anymore, the people inside forget that she's there, and so that's basically how she gets things, is essentially by stealing them, because no one remembers her butt.
Transactions.
But Henry
remembers. Yeah, no one remembers her transactions, because she definitely tries to have, like, a quote-unquote honest life when she first starts, but there are times where, like, she pays money for, like, room and board, and then they don't remember that she's there, and then they're like, what are you doing here, squatter? And she tries to pay money for food, and then she walks away or they walk away or turn around, and then they accuse her of stealing it. So this is literally how she has to function, which I thought was interesting, because you kind of do get into like morality. It's like, if you try to do the right thing and you cannot do the right thing, is it still bad to, you know, steal? Because I feel like in our society, you know, stealing is obviously very wrong.
Yeah.
So it's like ethics and morals are based on perspective and shouldn't be like this black and white code, maybe.
There's a couple of discussions a little bit later in the book, both between her and Luke and then her and Henry, about this very thing. And I thought it was interesting, like, you can kind of see both sides the way she describes it. You know, Luke is like, you know, you think you're coming in here and just like no one's getting hurt, but when you take all these things from this rich house, of course the people don't think that you did it. They think the staff does it, and so the staff either gets fired or gets beat or whatever. So it's like it's not that like there's no one getting hurt. Like, the things you're doing can mm-hmm. cause harm.
Like, it doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Henry catches her taking the book, and she like makes up a little lie.
Henry's like the only employee of this like sad little bookstore that might be going out of business. And everyone like his whole life has been saying like, you need to get like a better job. And he's just like content living this little life, I guess. What's the word I'm looking for? Not little, but
simple.
No,
simple. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, simple.
Cause, like, what did he like? Because we hear like we kind of get a backstory of like he's the youngest in his family, and his family is like pretty successful, and like his siblings are
doctors and lawyers.
Yeah, and what, did he go to school for?
He went
writing?
To college for theology. He was going to be a theologian, and then realized like he got really far out. I think he was like at the point where he was going to like get his doctorate or something, and he realized that late, like, this is not what I want to do. I'm not interested in this. And then basically his teacher is like, yeah, I can tell you're not into this. Like, you need to either do something else and quit, or I'm going to flunk you out. So he's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, but back to the bookstore. she tries to steal. He remembers her. Like, he sees her stealing. She makes up a lie. He's like, fine, like, you can have it, or something like that. And then they depart. And then the next day, Addie goes back to the store trying to return the book, saying, like, making up this, like, story, like, blah, 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 blah.
My friend bought it for me, but I already have it, or I can't read Greek, or whatever it is. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, well, you tried to steal it yesterday. And she's startled that he remembered her, because nobody ever does. And she's just like, holy crap.
What is happening?
She's so shook. Yeah.
They end up meeting after his shift or something at the bookstore. Not like
a date.
A date, yeah. But not
she wanted to like repay him for trying to steal the book or something. She's like, let me buy you a coffee or something like that.
And they talk and they end up getting a connection. And I don't remember when she revealed her secret to him. Was it at the dinner, after the dinner party that he had?
It was after that, because she was like, that's when it kind of things started to fall apart. She was like,
yeah,
this
because
is,
she had because
up to that point it had
not to
yeah,
tell
up
him.
To that point it had really just been him and her. She wasn't supposed to go to this party. He forgot about it. She's like, well, let me take you to this like French patisserie place where I can get us in after hours and get you some good desserts to take. And he's like, come with me to the party. And she's like, oh shit, this is not going to go well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole bean spill after the dinner party, and Henry is okay with it.
Well, I think he, in a weird roundabout way, he can relate, because, surprise, surprise, he also made a deal, and there's something going on with him as well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because he dated a girl.
Wasn't he engaged or, like, wanting to
be
engaged?
Proposed, he proposed, and she was like, no.
She said no.
Yes.
That's awkward.
And he got super upset about it, and he was really sad, basically, to where he wanted to jump off a building, and he was about to, and then lo and behold,
the reason why he was really sad, I think this also happened at the same time that he like dropped out of school, so he was questioning a lot of his life, and his whole life everyone was basically saying, oh, you're not whatever enough. And it was just like, this is the straw that broke the camel's back, because I don't remember if his like ex said he's not whatever enough, or he thought in his head that he wasn't enough. I can't remember.
I don't think she actually said those words, but the things that she said was basically implying, you know what, I do want to get married one day, just not to you, because you're not enough for me. Like, yeah. You're not what I'm looking for. You were just like you were a fun interlude before I start my quote unquote real life.
Yeah.
Luke comes in to save the day, question mark, not really.
He's like, why are you going to kill yourself, buddy? And then Henry's just like, my life sucks and I'm not enough for everyone. And Luke's just like, well, what if I could make you enough? Yeah. What if I could make you what everyone wants you to be? You could be Hillary Clinton's whatever flavor you want her to be. And he's just like, actually, that sounds amazing. So he agrees to this deal, not really knowing what it is, because hashtag deal with the devil. And apparently, I guess whenever people look at Henry, they just see whatever is most appealing to them.
He is whatever they want him to be. Yeah, he is. Yeah, the good friend.
Yeah, he's like talking to a lady in the bookstore and like she sees him as her grandson or something. So it's not always like whatever they're into, like sexually or romantically.
Which I thought was like really like a cute little like sneaky way of putting that in the book before we actually find out about that small plot. Because, like, yeah, throughout the book, when we're seeing Henry, there's always these, like, little things where the waitress, like, looked at Henry.
Their eyes are, like, clouding over and they get this sort of, like, dreamy look in their eyes. Yeah.
Well, that's why he was attracted to Addie, because so Addie was thrilled that he remembered her, but also Addie didn't look at Henry with that same expression.
Yeah, she actually saw him for him instead of saying what
she just wanted someone who remembered her. Yeah. So that's all he had to do. Like,
he
himself was enough.
She just wanted a Greek version of the Odyssey. That's all she wanted. Who else doesn't want to read the Greek version? Come on.
I don't know. Does he immediately reveal to her, or does he wait?
No, we're skipping a lot, and that's fine. But like, they have like this whole relationship that lasts like a year, basically.
I would say a little less than a year, wasn't it?
It's a little less than a year. And the reason why basically Henry tells her his deal is because he's like, there's actually something I need to tell you. Like, the trade-off for this was that my life is like an hourglass. Like, it's running out. Like, I'm going to die here in, I think he says like 3 months.
When he originally tells her, she asks how much time he got, and he said a lifetime. Of course, sort of like it's a little bit of a white lie, I guess. And then it wasn't until later he finally reveals, hey, you know what? I said a lifetime, but it's actually like a year, and I've only got like a month left or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, very short. And so Addie actually approaches Luke privately. And she tries to, like, convince Luke to give Henry a second chance, I guess. Like, to not...
Give him more life.
Give him more life. Give him more time. Because, I mean, I don't know. For me personally, I was like, oh, that's so cute. Like, she finally found love after all this time.
Because she loves him.
I know. And it was just, like, really sweet. Of course it has to be ruined instantly. Of course. But basically, Luke doesn't really agree to
give
him
time. He made a deal. He's like, he made a deal. My hands are tied. I can't. Yeah.
And I think also he's partially not doing it because he's petty. And he's just like, Addie, you love someone else. Like, you belong to me.
Also, I don't think we ever mentioned this. That ring, the wooden ring. I forgot to put that in here. Because he, like, when Luke and Addie were a thing, there was like one moment where he gives her this like wooden ring, or maybe this is before they got super close.
The wooden ring was her dad's.
Her dad,
because
made
her dad
ring.
Was a woodworker or woodmaker. Like, he carved shit out of wood. Like, that ring was her dad's, and it was like her way to remember her family, but also like Luke enchanted it so she could never get rid of it. Like, it was always on her person. So it's this weird manifestation of the idea that even though she can get older, or I guess not really older, but like her life is extended, like she can't change.
Wait, didn't the ring get lost?
So the ring was her dad's. She took it, I guess, when she was fleeing, because right after she made the deal, and it ended up getting either lost or broken or destroyed somehow, and she was like devastated about it, because that was like the one link she had to her past. And then flash forward, she's having this whatever conversation, argument, whatever with Luke, and he manifests the ring And it's like, here, take this. Okay. And
that
when
makes
you're
more sense.
When you're ready to give, when you want me to come back, when you're ready to, you know, see or talk to me again, you put the ring on and I'll be there.
And that's how she got saved from World War II.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was in jail. She was in jail. The Nazis captured her. And yeah.
Oh, God. What was I saying about the ring? Why did I bring up this stupid ring?
Well, because
ring?
She now wants to try to make renegotiate Henry's deal with Luke to try to get him more time. And so she puts on the ring to summon him so that she can like be like, hey, you know, let's do this. Let's negotiate.
Yeah.
In that whole scheme, she basically finds out that Luke orchestrated this whole thing with Henry because he wanted to break her completely and make her, I guess, give in to him.
Surrender.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on the day of Henry's, quote, death, they go up to the rooftop and, like, Henry, I guess, is about to jump off. That's what I was kind of getting from that scene. And
well, no, he was like, you remember the Avengers movie where, like, everyone kind of, like, fades into dust? I felt like it was more like that. Like, he was, like, slowly slipping away.
Like,
yeah.
Back to the future?
Yeah, he was, like, dying, but he was, like, fading.
I think Luke shows up to, like, take his soul, but then Addie's like,
basically,
actually, dun, 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 I have saved the day.
And she does. Basically, like, what was it? Like, Henry just kind of, like,
I think he, like, passes out, right?
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, he passes out, and he wakes up the next day. He still remembers Addie. She's nowhere around. Like, she's not in his apartment or anything like that. And it was just so sad. I didn't like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she basically gives her soul in exchange for him to live.
Yeah, and yeah.
So,
the thing, I guess one of the things we forgot to mention before is this whole time when her and Henry have been hanging out, Addie, because Henry can remember her and actually, like, do something about it, she has been telling him her story this whole time. So basically all of the flashbacks, I think, are meant to be like her telling her story to Henry. So Henry has like notebooks and notebooks filled of Addie's life. And he still has them, even though now she's gone. And he ends up basically writing a book and publishing it. And he's like, hey, your story is out there now. Like, people will know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a very, very emotional ending. Oh, yeah. It really got me. It choked me up a bit. Just in the dedication, he just put, or the dedication or whatever it is, he just put, I remember you. And, oh, man, right in the feels.
Oh! And, yeah, and we're like, where is Addie? And she is in London in the future, 2016. That was 8 years ago. And she is reading, like, the book or something, or she, like, comes across the book and sees it. And she's with Luke. And Luke is like, come on, let's go. And, of course.
And she basically, the parting shot, she basically, I don't know if she says this out loud to him, but she thinks internally, like the renegotiated deal I made was that I will be with you as long as you want me with you. So now her goal, basically, it seems like, is going to be to get Luke to just get tired of her and give her up. That's kind of where it is. And exactly. I thought that was encouraging and fitting. And it's like, yeah, go Addie. I'm cheering for you.
I want a sequel.
I was going to say, they definitely,
yeah.
She definitely, like, left it open-ended enough where a sequel could be a possibility. Or something in, like, the same universe, at least.
I feel like, with the ending, how it left off, it would be a really cool, like, either, like, obviously it would work probably as a limited series, but if they made this, like, a movie of some sort, it's, like, one of those, like, movies where you get left off with, like, a cliffhanger of, like, what's gonna happen next? Are we gonna get a sequel, or is it just gonna end like that?
Oh, yeah, I would love for this to get a movie. Or a series.
Oh, yeah, it would be such a good movie. Really mad about the ending, but you know, it is what it is.
I know. I want to read V.E. Schwab. She has like a bunch of other books that I want to read now.
Yeah,
A couple of series.
Yeah, so. The interview that I listened to yesterday. Yeah, it seemed like she had like a bunch of other books, and I never heard of them, to be really honest.
Yeah,
I feel like this book was actually the first book I've come across like hers. So thought that was very
He's really famous. She has a series, I think the first book, and it's called like A Darker Shade of Magic, I think is what it's called. And it's like
I think you're right.
four or five books. And then she has a spin-off series from that, I believe. And then she has another series that's like three books maybe. So she's got a lot of stuff out there that I definitely want to check out now.
Yeah. There was actually one thing that I really wanted to bring up. I like how we get more representation of queer characters in this book. And it's not necessarily like the plot line, but like they are making, like they're taking space in this story. And also, Henry is a bisexual male and he's like a main character. I have not come across a book like that ever. And I thought that was really cool because I don't think we get a lot of that in general. I know, I'm sure there are books out there with characters that are that. But in a lot of books that I've read, I've not come across like.
I like too how it was like normalized. Like it was like they didn't have to make the fact that he was bi or the fact that this other character was gay. Like it didn't have to be like a main. Yeah, it was just like, yeah, this is like just normal people. People are like this. Like
A big
it doesn't have
scene.
to be
Like,
big. Yeah, I really like that too. How it is normalized and just incorporated into everyday life because that's just the way people are.
Because they also didn't really talk very much about Henry's sexuality. You know, he was just like, yeah, he was like, I was engaged to this woman, and you know, my friend that's still in this friend group,
Yeah.
he's a little dramatic and he's my
Yeah,
ex.
like
And
his both his friends were also like queer. Addie also is, because she was with men and women. And I remember like in the interview that I listened to yesterday, because V.E. Schwab is also like part of the LGBTQ plus community. She felt like she, you know, like it was important to her to like create these characters, not make it like a plot or anything, but just let them take up space in her story because that was important to her.
I like
So,
it.
Agreed.
oh, I also kept thinking, feel like I kind of felt this a little bit more in the middle of the book when we were kind of getting a little bit more of Henry's POV. So when Addie like creates that image of like the perfect guy when she's like living in the 1600s, and that form of the perfect guy is Luke, but then like also we get like in the very beginning, like she's attracted to this like singer in New York City that she's been like kind of having like a fling with, like
She's
kind
had a
of, but you
relationship
can't
with,
remember
except
her.
that every night it's new to him, but she's been with him for like a month or
Exactly.
something.
Yeah, and he kind of looks similar to Luke in
Restarts.
a way, and then we meet Henry, who also has like similar features as well to Luke. When Addie met Henry and Henry remembered her, to me, I kept thinking, "Oh my God, is this Luke? Is this
Oh,
Luke in disguise?"
that would have been a twist for sure.
I was a little concerned about
It would
that at
have been a
first
twist for
too.
sure, but I kept thinking that because I was like, she's getting this really close to this guy. He remembers her. Why does he remember her? I don't get it. I feel like this is like a plot twist. It wasn't, but it could have been. I just kept thinking that they were the same person.
I also thought they were the same person until I think it was until he said that he made a deal with Luke too.
I think even before that, we got some POV chapters from Henry's perspective. And so at that point, I don't know, I feel like she wouldn't have done that if he was actually Luke. But yeah, when he first shows on the scene,
That's
it's
true.
been so long since I first read it and didn't know what was going on. So I can't remember if I thought that, but that definitely makes sense.
And I do have a question for y'all. And this is just something because like I know that I definitely would not survive, but if you guys had the chance to live this invisible life, would you survive? Because I know I wouldn't.
Well, wasn't the
Yeah,
whole
but
thing is
natural
that she
means.
couldn't die by natural means, right?
I thought she would like in World War II when they caught her prisoner, because like I mean technically like they could have caught her prisoner and then like she could have been in that jail cell.
Because I thought her whole thing was that she couldn't die.
I thought like if she got like shot or something, like
Maybe I'm wrong.
possibly.
It was kind of left open-ended. Like, there wasn't really a clear, list of things that she could or could not do. I just felt like she never got sick. Like, there were times where she was talking about, being really cold and like wanting to die, and she could not. But those are like natural means. I mean, I don't know.
There was like a point where what she was in the French Revolution and like Paris was burning and she was there.
She got
And there were
cornered.
moments where it felt,
She got cornered by
yeah,
all
it
those
felt like in that moment
Yeah, and she dressed up
soldiers.
as a guy.
Gotten killed. Like if she got captured by somebody, like I feel like if she went was sent to the guillotine, she could have definitely died. That's what I imagined. Like if
I thought it was more implied that they were going to rape her.
Definitely would have been having a bad
Probably.
Day.
Yeah, I think that I thought that that's what was more implied, was like she was afraid of being sexually assaulted by these men, not that she was afraid for her life.
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either. But it is interesting to think about. But like, to answer your question, just for the sake of discussion, would I survive if, I guess if we're saying, what, you can't die by natural means, but you could get like shot or stabbed or something? No, I'd probably, I don't know. I'm not a very like stealthy person. I would not be able to steal food from me.
Well, I don't think, I don't think in that situation stealth is your problem, because no one's going to remember seeing you. I think it's like, can you get food or get shelter or not immediately piss somebody off when they see you.
Yeah, I'm an indoor cat. I've been declawed. I'm not built for that kind of life. So I don't think I'm built for that.
Man,
personally.
I really like to think that I would be able to survive. I don't know if that's just wishful thinking or if it's me thinking too highly of myself, but I don't know. I like to at least think that I could figure something out.
What about you, Catherine?
Oh, no, I would. I would fail. I would totally fail.
Catherine's like, there's no way.
There's no way. I would not be sneaky, even if people like could forget me. Still not sneaky. And I'd probably cry a lot.
Well, so. Definitely. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Crying. So much crying. I would be dehydrated all
crying.
The time from all the crying.
So, yeah, I probably wouldn't.
I feel like it'd be fun for a little bit, in all honesty, but I'm like, I really like being around people. So I would just be really sad all the time. I'd probably get a cat.
Do animals
probably get a lot
her?
Of cats?
No, I can't forget what the situation was with Book. Did
I
Book remember her, or was he just like cat, and so he was just cool with whatever?
I think he was just kind of like cat in a bookstore. Yay, cat! Like, I don't think it really. There was no like cat POV.
There was another mention of a cat, and it was that guy that she saw at the bar, like that she had a relationship. That's the singer at those clubs and bars and stuff like that.
Toby, I think
he had
Toby
a cat
was his
too.
Name.
Yeah,
did he?
Toby.
I don't remember. I think his name was Toby.
Sounds right. But he had a cat.
I was gonna say, if animals remember you, like I just get a cat or a dog or something. Yeah, you're gonna outlive them, but like at least you're not alone.
Yeah,
you know.
Like, we should email the Schwab
questions for the author. Excuse me, I need to know if a feline would remember Addie. Thanks.
Be like, hey, can you just like clarify this one thing for us, please? We need to know. It's important.
We have a pet. If not, then I'm not making this deal.
All right. Well, y'all want to do our rate, review, recommendations of this book?
Let's do it.
Sure. Oh man, recommendations.
Okay, yeah. So Rainer will go last. Catherine, do you want to go first, or do you want me to
go
first?
Go first. Because you have yours written, I'm looking at it.
Okay. Personally, I gave this a 4 out of 5 on Goodreads. Like I said earlier, I think this is a great book. I think the concept was really interesting. I just feel like it was a little too long, because the book was like, what, 300 pages?
A little too long?
Just more than that.
Girl. I feel like it could be 100 pages less and still be the same book. That was really my only complaint. I felt like there were some parts of it that dragged on. I know what she was trying to do with all the jump backs and stuff, but sometimes I was just like, just kind of a lot. I don't know. Maybe that's a me problem. But yeah, that's really my own complaint. Love the story. One book that I would recommend for sure, and I think I said this on our last episode, is a book called How to Stop Time by Matt Haig. He also wrote The Midnight Library. It's a similar concept where there's a lot of time jumps and a little bit of like unreliable narrator, which are both themes that I really like. But it's basically about a guy who... God, I read this a while ago, so I'm not going to really remember it. I think there was like something genetically wrong with him, where with him and these other people, where your life expectancy is considerably longer than other people, to the point where he has lived like 200 or 300 years.
Wow.
And then he meets this woman who's like, they start building a romantic relationship, and she might be able to help him like age normally. So I would definitely recommend that book. It's pretty similar themes.
I like Midnight Library, so I'll check that one out. I think Midnight Library as well would probably fit if you like this, because she lives multiple lives in that story too. I am listening, but I'm looking at my bookshelf trying to see if anything jumps out at me that I could recommend. I think I've got one.
All right. Catherine, you want to go next?
I really liked this book, so I give it a 5 out of 5. I really enjoyed the flashbacks a lot, like Addie's memories and her story. I think that kind of kept me like on my toes a little bit to see, like, oh, what happened? Like, how did she end up to where we see her in 2014, you know? So I really want there to be a sequel. If there ever is one, I'll read it. Honestly, for, like, books, I feel like the only book I can really, like, think about that would be like this in some ways is, like, Song of Achilles. And maybe it's just because, like when I'm imagining Luke, like, as a god and in a human form, it's kind of, like, the same thing in Song of Achilles with some of the characters in that book, like, Achilles' mom. And, like, just in general, like, with Greek mythology, like, how, like, gods, like, show up in human form. And also, like, some of the, like, some parts of the story, like, for instance, when Achilles and Patrocles are kind of, like, separated, like, when Achilles dies, or, like, when Patrocles dies and Achilles then dies, it's not like they're reunited in the afterlife immediately. Like, they're actually, like, apart. And even, like, in the story, like, they're together, but apart in some ways. I don't know. It just...
That makes sense.
That story kind of, like, reminds me a little bit of this. And I thought, like, I don't know. I feel like that's a book I would recommend if nobody has read it yet. And if you haven't read it, you should listen to our last episodes on Song of Achilles. Just saying. But anyway.
Shameless plug.
I thought that was a really interesting book. Another book, too. And I read this after Addie LaRue. We just talked about it on our last episode, Brittany, when we were talking about our best and worst books of 2023. But I would also recommend Never Never.
Didn't you hate that?
I didn't like that book, but I liked it because they couldn't remember anything. And that's why I picked it after.
I didn't like that book, but I liked it.
I didn't really like it.
Okay, Catherine.
I didn't really like it, but the whole, like, forgetting thing, I think that's why, like, I read that book after this one, because I was like, oh, they forget, like, their lives or something like that. And I thought that was a really interesting thing. But I don't know. If you guys want to read Never Never, you can. But I just didn't like Charlie Baby.
Again, they were also in high school. They're not 30.
I knew people in relationships in high school that would not say that. I just think that's really weird and cheesy and anyway.
Rainer? Is it my turn? I like this book a lot. I gave it 5 out of 5 on Goodreads. If I were scoring it like on a 10-point scale, I'd probably do like 9 out of 10. But I really enjoyed it. Two recommendations, just kind of off the top of my head. I really should have thought about this beforehand. One is kind of sort of in the same vein. It's Cloud Cuckoo Land by Anthony Doerr. Doerr. It's the same guy that wrote All the Light We Cannot See. And it's basically, it has a lot of different timelines, a lot of stuff set back in the past, like ancient Greek times up to modern day. And you get to see how these people's stories like interweave and how things that happened back then affect stuff now. It was really good and I recommend it. Another one is only very tangentially similar to Addie LaRue in that it's called The Postmortal by Drew McGarry. And basically, scientists discovers or invents a serum that you can take that stops people from aging. Like they can no longer, they don't get any older. They can't die from old age. They can still die from like getting hit by a bus. You can still get cancer, but you will not age anymore and you will not die from old age. It's really good. He's actually written several really good books. I like him as an author just in general. One of my favorite books just ever is called The Hike by Drew McGarry. I think I actually gave David a copy of it years ago, so you may actually have one.
Really?
But yeah, Postmortal just follows the story of this guy who has taken the serum and can't get older, but you know he still has to go through shit as you know the years stack up. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That was mine.
Nice. Well, this was a fun book to read for sure.
Agreed.
Definitely.
I think that kind of naturally brings us to like the end of our episode.
Yeah.
Rainer, anything that you want to plug? Thank you for joining us, by the way.
Thanks for having me. I don't have anything else going on in my regular life, so this is all I got.
Girl, I feel that.
Feel that.
All right. On that note, we'll end. It's interesting that we did a book for a whole episode, but I think this format went pretty well.
I thought it went well, yeah.
Awesome. Well, what book are we reading next, Catherine? Do we know? Have we decided?
I don't think we've decided yet, but stay tuned. Follow us on our socials at Fiddle and Pipe Pod on Instagram and TikTok. Fiddle and Pipe.
For you kids.
What? For the kids.
I said for you kids. Yeah. For the kids.
We also have a Facebook group, Fiddle and Pipe Podcast. If you are on Facebook and want to follow us there, check out our socials and stay tuned for updates. And yeah, we'll be reading another book soon, I'm sure. So
sounds great. All right. Well, this was nice chatting books with y'all. Until
later,
next
time.
Bye.